All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks, a.k.a. your favorite WMMA podcast. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99, and this is episode 108. Man, we're getting deep. We're getting deep in there. This is round 108, y'all, and back with another one. Still love doing this show. And if you still love hearing this show, make sure y'all subscribe to all the platforms where I put this podcast, you know, iTunes, Spotify. Wherever you listen to your podcast, just type in hashtag CB99 Talks and you can hear it there. Or you can just go to my YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. And yeah, man, it's going down once again, man. Got a few things I want to discuss in this episode. And, you know, it wasn't too much of a crazy weekend, you know, for WMMA. This weekend coming up is really not much going on again. You know, it's pretty much going to be the end cap of the year. The only fight we have this weekend is Cheyenne Bellismus versus Corey McKenna. And, of course, this past weekend, we didn't have any fights for WMA and the UFC. We just had Bellator, LFA, and the organization FAC, right? So, yeah, man, I just want to run through some topics here with y'all today. You know, I'm not going to be on here too long, but once again, I'm back at 7 p.m. I was able to do it. This is the third episode in a row I was able to do it. I'm going to keep it going, y'all. I'm going to keep it going. So, you know, this podcast drops. Y'all will know it's gonna be on 7 p.m. sharp Eastern time every Tuesday. All right. But, yeah, man, a few things I want to discuss. Just go through some of the fights this past weekend, you know, this Friday. And talk a little bit about Bellator flyweights. What do I think of them as far as their level? And just the performance of some of my favorite fighters this past week, this past Friday in Bellator. I want to talk about that. Bellator 289. And talk a little bit about Chris Cyborg, her boxing debut, which technically it wasn't her boxing debut because she did have a fight against Simone Silva a few months back, which it wasn't sanctioned as a professional bout. So technically her first bout was this past Saturday. All right. So, yeah, I want to talk a little bit about what I thought about her boxing debut and do a little recap of last night's live stream. You know, it's kind of a long live stream. And in case if you missed it, I just wanted to talk about the flyweight fluster once again. So we're going to call this topic flyweight fluster part two. OK, because I want to go back in and just discuss some of the things that's going on with the division as far as, you know, the champion, who's next up for the champion, you know, who's going to really step up and take on that challenge, right? We got to talk about that and also just discuss Amanda Ibas a little bit, you know, where she fits into place. And last but not least, last topic, next week is Christmas. So I want to hit y'all with my Christmas list this year. I want to give y'all my fights that I want for 2023. I'm going to only give you five fights. You know, there's a lot of fights I want, but there's just five that stick out to me right now that I really want to see. Of course, there's more. But I can't give y'all all of the fights I want. So I just picked five this afternoon, or not this afternoon, but this morning before I jumped on this afternoon. And I said, you know what? I want to see these fights at some point in 2023. I know some of the fighters already booked or whatever, but the fights could still happen at some point. You know, fighters fight two or three times a year, right? So these are the five fights I want to see for 2023. All right. So, yeah, man, like I said, this past Friday, we had LFA, Bellator, and FAC. So I just want to pull that up real quick, give y'all some, you know, underground MMA a little bit here. Just in case y'all have forgotten about Gina Bazzani. She had a fight this past weekend. You know, she had a fight this past weekend here, as you can see, against Schroeder. This is Mazzani. Schroeder was the main event here. I believe it was the main event. I can't remember because the card on UFC Fight Pass kept on glitching up a little bit. So I saw a little bit of this fight, but I just wanted to give y'all the update. FAC 17, this past Friday, Gina Bazzani made her return against Schroeder here. And won a split decision. It's pretty back and forth action. You know, it was kind of a tight fight, but that's what's expected. You know, when you got a fighter like Schroeder on the come up, you know, trying to make her statement. You got Gina Bazzani, who's trying to slowly improve and, you know, find her way back into, you know, the UFC at some point, I believe, you know. So but you know, I didn't really expect this to be like a fight where she was going to outclass Schroeder. You know, I know she has the UFC experience, but there's still some things I believe Gina Bazzani has to work on. You know, I believe her wrestling is sharp, but one of the things that stands out that is across the board with a lot of WMMA fighters is defense, you know, and that's the thing that kept this fight very tight. All right. You know, that's the one thing that these fighters really need to work on is defense. So, yeah, shout out to Gina Mazzani. I believe she's going to be fighting for this organization a little bit more. Maybe she'll jump back and forth to, you know, Cage Fury, LFA, and just kind of work her way back if she can, or even go back to, or even go to Invicta FC at some point. You know what I mean? So, yeah, shout out to Gina Mazzani, you know, staying sharp, trying to, you know, stay relevant and keep on fighting, you know, keep trying to get better. All right. So, yeah, also, like I said, Chris Cyborg, you know, she had a fight in the boxing world. You know, Chris Cyborg was able to make her boxing debut on the Terrence Crawford David Avanesian undercard. Or, excuse me, not the undercard, but she was on the main card as the co-main event. And I was like, wow, you know, okay, that's a big step up, you know, to be the co-main event to the pound for pound, one of the best pound for pound fighters in the world. But at the same time, when you think about it, you know, Terrence Crawford is he was just jumping over to a brand new organization. So they were pretty much trying to get all the names they could get on a card at this point. You know, it was BLK Prime, if y'all are not familiar. You know, they're just coming into the game of boxing, and they just opened up this app. And one of the big fighters they signed was Terrence Crawford along with Adrian Broner. And Terrence Crawford was reportedly getting $10 million for this card to take on, you know, pretty much average fighter, you know, somebody that nobody really knows. And as far as getting names, you know, Chris Cyborg was a name they could grab. You know, she was somebody that's trying to make her way into the boxing world. So they grab her, and they grab another Bellator featherweight in Gabrielle Holloway. And Gabrielle Holloway didn't really present too much of a threat for Chris Cyborg, which she doesn't really need at this point. You know, she's only one fight deep, right? And this is how you make your this is how you make your wave in boxing. You know, you take baby steps. And Chris Cyborg, even though she's considered a legend in the world of MMA, boxing is a totally different world. So if you check this fight out, if you would check it, or if you were anticipating this fight, like you were going into this fight and it disappointed you in her performance, well, for some of y'all in the future, when you check out her next fight, don't go into a Chris Cyborg boxing match thinking she's going to look as dominant as she does in the world of MMA. All right. I already expected this, you know. Chris Cyborg, she looks sharp, you know, for somebody that's just starting off, but you can see that she was still trying to learn how to keep her composure, be disciplined and patient, trying to find her reach with just her hands. You know, it's a different story. You know, the stance is different. How you stalk fighters down is different. How you turn your punches over is different. You know, you have to really make a statement with those shots. You know, if you're in the pocket, you know, she's learning that now, you know, and that's what this 4-round fight really just presented to me, you know, just showing me Chris Cyborg get her feet wet against, you know, a below average opponent. You know, Gabrielle Holloway's like 0-3, and that's a safe debut for somebody like Chris Cyborg, even for somebody like Chris Cyborg, who's known as a GOAT, like I said, in WMMA. You know, first couple of rounds, she was just finding a range, kind of learning how to cut the ring off. She got me mixed up here. Cut the ring off and learn how to turn that right hand over and stick that jab out. You know, Gabrielle Holloway just kept stepping in with those loopy punches, you know, kind of dipping her head down, trying to land the overhand right, which she landed a couple jabs here and there. But as Chris Cyborg started to turn it up and she found her range, you know, she started cutting away at the body of Gabrielle Holloway. You know, she was able to back her into the ropes in the third round, land a good hard shot and land some hard left to the body and put her down. All right. Then going into the fourth round, she wanted to get the stoppage, as it seemed. But, you know, Gabrielle Holloway just kept using a lot of movement and clinching. So Chris, you know, just kept going on, putting the pressure on and landing those right hands until she could, you know, just finish the fight. So, yeah, man, Chris Cyborg, she won her first fight in boxing from here. Still a lot of work to be done. And I know in the beginning, whenever people heard her move into the boxing world and they seen Katie Taylor was somebody that was on her list or a name that was coming up, people were feeling like, oh, yeah, somebody like Katie Taylor, she would lose to Chris Cyborg. Chris Cyborg had it. No, it's a different game, y'all. That's why I said, if you go into a Chris Cyborg boxing match right now, don't expect to see somebody as dominant. Don't expect to see the dominant Bellator champion or anything like that. This is a different world. I think she's far off from fighting anybody like Serrano or Katie Taylor. You know, this is their game. You know, you can just see the difference. Like, she's still trying to get comfortable in there. Maybe when she starts to find her range and, you know, just find her niche in boxing, like how she takes her approach, maybe then you'll see her starting to present more of a threat to anybody in the world of boxing right now. So, yeah, still a long way off. Still need to see a few more fights from her. But, you know, this is the realm she wants to go. I respect, you know, her for that, you know, for trying to tackle another discipline. All right. So, yeah, going back to Friday, wanted to talk a little bit about Bellator here. As you know, both of my picks lost in Bellator. And these are like fan picks for me. You know, sometimes with Bellator, it's very 50-50. I'm never really on point with some of these Bellator fights because the Bellator flyweight division, you know, it's a very mysterious division with me. You know, I feel like some of these fighters, they have good skills. Some are improving, some are evolving, but sometimes it's almost like they don't fully connect the dots. Like I say about a lot of fighters, they don't fully connect the dots here. They don't fully put that clip in, cock it back in, shoot. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's like the clip falls out. They drop the gun, they fumble the gun, or, you know, they just have it loaded and they don't know what to do with it. You know what I mean? It's like they got all the weapons, but sometimes they just don't pull the trigger, or they come in thinking that they can just keep the same type of weapons and not improve and not add more to their arsenal. Right. And that's how I kind of feel fighters like Denise Kielholz and Juliana Velasquez have done, you know, and I consider them some of the, you know, more entertaining fighters on my list. You know, I enjoy Denise Kielholz even as a kickboxer. I'm a kickboxing fan and she's one of my favorites. But in MMA, you know, she just seemed to be kind of stuck in one gear in this Ilaria Iwani fight. I thought that her skill set was better than Iwani. You know, maybe on the ground, Iwani would have favor, which she did. But I thought at least like her technique on the feet would have been much better. Her punches were sharp. But as far as her approach, as far as slipping and defense and even using kicks in this fight, she lacked a lot of that. You know, there was never any moment where she made like a solid adjustment and said, OK, Ilaria Iwani swings wild, or her chin is wide. Her chin is up in the air. You know, it's wide open. Like, what do I got to do to catch it? Well, let me see. Let me set up a trap. You know, let me start jabbing a little bit more, and then I can throw a left hook off the jab and knock her out or something like that, right? So the opportunities were there for her, but it was just like Denise Kielholz wanted to take this offensive, exciting approach, you know, where she wanted to walk her down, and I think that's what cost her the fight on the cards. I believe she did win, in my opinion, you know, but like I said, there was too many close moments, and to be a dominant champion, you know, you cannot have these close moments. You have to adjust to everything your opponent is doing. You know, you have to take away their best weapons. And I think Ilaria Iwani, her best weapons were those wild shots, you know. And again, Kielholz, she had the technique to shut down the wild puncher with the straight jab. You know, she had straighter punches, but there was never really a moment in this fight where she controlled the offense. It was always back and forth exchanges, you know, jump in violent exchanges. And then you would leave thinking like you would finish seeing the round and you'd be like, oh man, like what happened? Like, let me see, who do I think won? Well, I felt Kielholz won, but the judges, they felt another way. Cause then Ilaria Iwani would cap these rounds off with these, you know, these takedowns, you know? And sometimes, like I said, the judges, they'll just see that as a moment to give a person the round. You get a takedown, get some top control, boom, they give it to you, right? So, yeah, I just need to see a little bit more even from Kielholz. Like, this is her third loss in a row. And it's just like she's straying further and further away from the championship. And I always thought she had the skills to do it. But, you know, she's missing some things. She is missing some things. She's missing the IQ and, again, the ability to adjust on the fly, right? So, yeah, with the third loss in a row, who could she fight next? Going to have to fight down from here. I believe fighters like Deanna Bennett, they've definitely fought their way into a position to possibly fight for the title right now. You know, Deanna Bennett's calling for it, and she's been looking the best out of, you know, these mid-range flyweights, you know, better than, what is her name, Justine Keach, and Alejandra Lara, she defeated her as well. Ali Malay, I'm still wondering where she's at right now with hers, you know, as far as mentally. But yeah, Denise Kilholtz, that's three in a row though, man. You know, I never thought she would go on that type of losing streak. But when I saw her last couple fights and how she was, you know, just kind of reckless on the ground and making bad choices, you know, it was evident. Same with Juliana Velasquez. Juliana Velasquez, she came in to the Bellator organization looking dominant, looking sharp, powerful, very methodical. But there was a couple of moments in there where I was just like, man, she can't be stingy with her strikes. You know, she cannot be stingy with her strikes. She's got to start to turn it up and make herself more seen, you know, make herself more dominant there. And I kind of seen the holes in her game, even in the Lima Lay McFarland fight. I believe she won that fight now. I believe she won that fight, but still, like, I seen some moments in there when, like, this smaller wrestler was taking her down. And that was something I was looking at in this fight with Liz Carmouche. I said, man, Liz Carmouche, you know, she's got that pressure. You know, this is what she does. You know, she's a physically strong fighter here. And Velasquez, even in the first Carmouche fight, you could already see the lack of takedown defense. And Carmouche this time around, she said, you know what? I'm going all in. She said, I ain't playing. I'm going all in this time. I'm not even going to let her set her feet. Because you see it whenever she did let Velasquez set her feet a few times, the left hands were laying, right? The left hands got in a few times. So, you know, she had to turn it up. You know, she had to turn it up and just make this like a clinch fest and just a strictly wrestling match and grappling match, you know. And it exposed a lot into Velasquez again. You know, Velasquez had no answer on the ground. She just had to accept a lot of the positions. Carmouche was able to, you know, just snatch up her wrist and, you know, lay her flat on her back and get the full mount in the armbar in the second round. And I was just like, wow, like, it's almost like she's accepting these positions, like she's letting Liz Carmouche do a tutorial here. That's why I was just really surprised at her as well. Like, next to Denise Kilholtz, I was like, wow, is the former champ really looking like this? You know, at least the last fight was competitive and controversial, but this time around, like, you could see it in her eyes, like in this, I believe it was the second round where Carmouche had her legs tied together. She just looked defeated almost. You know, it really looked like she was defeated, like she had no answer. And that's what I'm saying. Like, some of these Bellator fighters, like, you know, I'm not trying to, like I said, rag on them as a whole, but I'm just seeing a pattern here with some of these girls that they just have certain strengths. And yeah, they look good in certain matches, but when it comes down to like a style change, all of a sudden, when they're not fighting somebody that's tailor made for them, they look like a fish out of water, or they just make some bad choices in there, you know. And I think now with Juliana Velasquez, she's going to really have to turn it up at this point. I mean, getting up there in age, but if she ever wants to continue to compete on this level, changes have to be made. You know, changes have to be made in their camp, because Velasquez, she's on a 0-2 streak, losing streak now. And, you know, with the way she's looking in this fight, I could see her, if she was to fight Lima Lay in a rematch, even like a Deanna Bennett, I could see her losing that fight too, honestly, you know, because these wrestlers, they're giving her problems. They really are. You know, she has the size, and, you know, I thought she had the strength too as well, but, you know, she just really lacked a lot of, initiative in this fight. You know, she never really took full control and used any of this stuff as an advantage. That's why I say, man, when you see these fighters being like 5'8", 5'9", with like a 69-inch reach, that's not really an advantage if you don't know how to use it. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're taller and longer, but are you better with it? Are you really better with it? So yeah, man. I don't know, man. Bellator flyweights, there's really nobody right now I could say has evolved enough to go to the UFC. Maybe Deanna Bennett. You know, maybe Deanna Bennett, because I can see some of the things that she does. It could give a lot of the unranked girls problems. You can see her climbing back up. But even Justine Keach, you know, she just left the UFC. I'm still not seeing enough from her. I don't know what Alima Lay's got going on. She says she wants to come back. We'll see. Like I said, Denise Kilholtz is a 3-fight losing streak. Alejandra Lara, You know, I know she trains with Grasso and Adelobo, but she just doesn't really have the same technique as these fighters. She likes to brawl more. Like, she's not the same technical striker as they are. Like, it's like her boxing fundamentals kind of veer left from theirs, which she needs to kind of sharpen up too, because, you know, she's in here accepting a lot of punishment from these fighters and position on the ground, you know? So yeah, Bellator flyweights, they're entertaining. They're still good fighters, but, you know, if any of them are trying to rise up and maybe even go to the UFC at this point, you know, there's got to be a lot of work being done for these fighters. Well, you know, fighters like Aleema Lay, I don't even know if she wants to go to the UFC at this point, you know, because she's kind of at the tail end of her career. You know, she's been a career fighter at Bellator anyway. I don't even think she would ever want to go there. Same with Juliana Velasquez at this point in her career. And, you know, some of these fighters are coming from UFC to Bellator, right? So that's why I'm not going to be, I can't really be too harsh, right? Because some of these fighters are the ones that are coming from the UFC to Bellator and kind of finishing out their career. Maybe like the younger ones on to come up, like Abzera Gova at some point, will want to make a run at the UFC like that. You know what I mean? But some of the other fighters, I think this is pretty much where they're going to stay. I think so. I really do. I think so at this point. But let me know what y'all think in the comment section, man. I'm still a fan, you know, and shout out to Denise Kierholz, wishing her a full recovery. You know, she suffered a broken rib in this fight too. She posted up on her Facebook, you know, had to get medicated up and everything. You know, she was in some pain, but she's out now and good to go. So hopefully she can heal up and get back in there soon, you know, to make those improvements. Same with Juliana Velasquez. Hope she comes back mentally right and makes those right changes, man, because accepted a lot of positions, man. It's almost like she doesn't know how to turn angles in these fights. And, you know, she's just moving straight back. A lot of work to do for all these fighters, though, if they ever want to touch that strap. So, enough about Bellator's flyweight division. Let's move on to this flyweight division. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The UFC, y'all remember this picture from yesterday? Yeah. Flyweight fluster, right? This is part two here because some of y'all missed it yesterday, but I'm just doing this for, you know, my show here on, you know, iTunes and so on, just in case y'all missed it. I ain't going to be spending the 3 hours talking on this. I'm just kind of doing a little recap here and give you my thoughts on what's going on, though. But, I did this long live stream yesterday to talk about these flyweights now because, you know, we got a lot going on, but it's almost like a lot is not going on. You know, it's not amounting to anything here, right? You know, the wheels are moving, but we don't know where we're going. We don't know where we're going right now. Maybe at some point we will, because we got some, you know, we got some direction here, but it's like we don't. So I'm really like in the twilight zone right now, the flyweight division, because right now we got a number one contender, and we also got another fighter that's calling for the champion. And we got another fighter who just had a solid win back in October who looked really good that could be taking on the champion. But nobody signed to fight the champion, right? You got to be three fighters, but nobody signed up to fight. You know, and Valentina, she did this recent interview with the Smo. And, you know, she talked about some, you know, different opponents, different directions she could go in her career. And, of course, the number one fighter that she would want to fight first right now, that she would prefer to fight, is the number one contender in Manon Fiorot, right? And I agree with her on that. I definitely think that's the fight that should happen. Heck, man, Manon's been sharing it on her IG story. So maybe Manon's surgery did go well and she knows something that we don't know, right? Because she's acknowledging the call out, which is good. You know, shout out to Manon. Manon is acknowledging the call out. Because Valentina said that's the fight that she would prefer. You know, it's a different look. She's worked her way up now. You know, she defeated Chikagan. So what makes sense? What makes more sense, right? But no, the number one contender should be asking for this fight now. So with Valentina wanting to return it sometime in 2023, if she's cool with waiting for Manon to heal up for however long it takes, like March, April, maybe even May, which might actually be like almost a year turnaround for Valentina. That's the longest she's gone without a fight. You know, I think that's going to have to be her selection right now. You know, that's going to have to be her selection. You know, if she doesn't want to squeeze in one in the first quarter, she might have to wait to the, you know, tail end there going into the second quarter of 2023. Right. But as far as the fight goes, yeah, I think that as long as Manon would be 100%, that's the one to make first because she legit got the spot. And I know Manon wanted one more fight, but there's really no reason at this point to me to try to get another fight or another five-round fight with anybody else because it could be too much of a risk now. You know, just go ahead and get in there and do this. This could be the one that really puts you on the map, kind of like you did for Tyler Santos. You know, Tyler Santos, she came up short, but she sure did give Valentina a good fight. You know, she gave Valentina a good fight because you never know how your style can match up. I mean, if you try to turn it into like a striker versus striker, I think we could say Valentina would get the edge. But, you know, Manon is a big flyweight. You know, it's time to drill and use that grappling and wrestling. You know, if anything, Manon should have been being that wrestler and clinch fighter in the Caitlin Kagan fight. That would have been a good chance for her to really showcase that type of style, that type of gritty inside style that you physical style that you need to use on somebody like Valentina. You know, that would have gave her a good test because she would have been taking on a big girl, big, long, tall fighter. And if she could have tossed her up, you know, that could have told us that, okay, she's getting better with this. And maybe she could go in there with Valentina and try to handle Valentina a little bit more because she's bigger. Right. And that's usually Valentina's kryptonite, right? Bigger, stronger fighters. And if you come in there with that type of style, that gives you more of a chance. So yeah, it was in a way Manon's fault not to go in there and take that wrestler's approach with the Caitlin Kagan fight. Right. But that's something she's going to have to do in training now, because at number one, you got to get in there and get it at this point. Right. You know, I do feel strongly on that. I mean, I respect her for wanting more experience, but I think you'll get the experience you need by taking her on, and you might get the win too. You could possibly get the win. Right. So that's the one fight that does need to happen. And, but like I said, if it does, you know, it's probably going to be a little later in 2023. So if Val is cool for waiting, you know, hey, go ahead and wait it out and then make that fight. All right. But the other name, you know, she wanted, she said if she can't get the Manon fight is Alexa Grasso. And she seems higher on the Alexa Grasso fight to me. Like I said a while back on Twitter, like a month or so ago, somebody mentioned Grasso as an opponent, and you know, she liked it. You know, she retweeted it as well. Valentina did, you know, and in this interview, you know, she also said she was impressed with the win over Viviana Arujo. So, you know, that's a fight that might happen. Now, we all know, yeah, Alex Grasso looked very, very sharp in that Arujo fight, but I think we all know how that style would match up with Valentina. You know, she feels like it's a good fight, and it could be a test for her. You know, she feels like it was a good showing. Grasso's bringing something to the table, but we all know how that style would match up. I know Grasso's a very, very good boxer, but going into a fight with Val, somebody's going to have to be physical. You know, you got to be physical with Val. Again, size and grappling is not Val's kryptonite, but those are keys to victory that you need when you fight somebody like Valentina. So Alexa Grasso needs to bring something like that to the table, and I don't know if she has that physical strength to dish out any type of control over Valentina Shevchenko, right? Maybe her boxing could be slick enough, but even then, you know, her head is on the line at times. You know, she doesn't really sit down on her punches enough to really get the respect. You know, she just kind of picked apart Viviana Arujo. So even with a fight with Val, I think she could hit Val a few times with her striking and her boxing overall, but I don't know if she could ever get Valentina's respect. You know, Valentina's still going to be that counter striker that's in charge. And even at times, if the round's starting to slip, she will storm forward even with those singles and doubles. Valentina will, you know. So Alexa Grasso is going to have her hands full for sure. But even Alexa Grasso, she's here at this point where I don't know if another five round main event is going to help her, especially if the five round main event is Tyler Santos, right? Which we're going to talk about here in a minute. You know, Tyler Santos would be the only other logical fight for Valentina, for Alexa Grasso. So does Alexa Grasso want to gamble? Does she want to make that gamble? Or does she want to go straight for the champion? Which would be wiser at this point to go ahead and say, I can go. I gave Valentina a fight. I gave her a good fight. Go ahead for that. Or fight a title eliminator against Tyler Santos in a five-round main event. You know, which one is going to really build your stock up at this point, huh? Got to think about that. So, yeah, the Grasso fight is something that Valentina wants. And if it happens, it happens, you know, because she wants a new look. You know, Valentina wants a new look. So it's gonna have to be one or two of these fights. It's going to have to be one or the other fight, Manon or Grasso. And Grasso's not injured right now. So I think the more Valentina shows interest in it and she kind of lights up when it's talked about, they might give it to her. Because they might say, you know, Manon, okay, she's healing up. You know, is she going to be back in time for a championship fight or will she need another fight now? Who knows, right? But, yeah, speaking of Tyler Santos, going back to Tyler, like I said last night here, you know, I'm going to put this in a nutshell for y'all. Tyler Santos, to me, is not really speaking out of terms. You know, she's got an ego. And like I said, fighters have to have this type of ego. They got to come in control, you know, never show weakness. And you know, always show that edge, you know, show that edge, that hard edge that, you know, you want it, you know, because that's the only way you're going to get it. You know, if you say, I want it, nothing's going to stop me. I deserve it. You know, that's the kind of talk you have to have. And Tyler Santos is bringing that talk for a purpose. So I disagree with Val whenever she says she has to work her way back up. I think she's fine where she's at. You know, she could get one more fight. But when you say work your way up, it makes it sound like, oh, she's got to really climb back up. Like she's letting her ego take over. But no, I think Tyler Santos is making the right improvements. You know, I think she's really making the right improvements in her game now. You know, I think she's learned from that fight and she just wants to test herself. Again, me personally, I would want to see her in one more fight, but it just seems like everything is mixed up right now. Manon's injured, can't make that fight. I want to see her in Lauren Murphy fight, but Lauren Murphy's fighting Jessica Andrade right now. There's some other fights, of course, like Tyler could fight Caitlin Keg, and she said she would do that. Grasso, right? That's a good fight. So if Valentina doesn't want that fight, again, she's going to really have to play the waiting game either way, because if she doesn't want to fight Tyler, and Tyler needs one more fight, Tyler might get Grasso. And then you got to wait for Manon, too, because of, you know, her surgery. So all in all, Valentina's going to have to kind of play the waiting game in 2023, unfortunately. And, you know, like I said before, it comes down to this. It's going to come down to this because whenever you run through a division, you got to wait for legit contenders. It's going to start slowing down. You know, of course, you're going to have fighters lined up when the division first starts. You're going to be able to run through an eye. Andrade, Carmouche, Cachoeira, Ioana, right? But whenever you beat all those fighters, you kind of have to wait for the division to run its course again until you have a new batch of fighters on to come up. So you have a Tyler Santos now. You do have a Manon, but the injury's there. You do have a Grasso there, but she doesn't seem ready yet, right? So the waiting game is inevitable right now. It really is. So with the way Val is speaking, you know, it's like if you want Tyler Santos to take one more fight, she's going to have to fight a Grasso or Chikagian, right? And I really think they might do that. Like if Valentina wants Grasso, they might give her Grasso and Chikagian and Tyler Santos might wind up fighting. That might really be the goal for the UFC in 2023. And I'm not mad at that. I'm really not mad at that. I just really want somebody to step up and be ready for this title shot, though. Hopefully, Manon will be ready. We'll see. If Tyler wanted it now, I would say, yeah, give her the fight because she's just bringing the energy. And with the energy she's bringing, she definitely knows something we don't know. She's working on something that we don't know, right? And she just wants to keep building off of that. So if I have my way, it's, you know, that's my way. But if she wants it and she's the only one showing it, she should get it, right? I know when people say she hasn't earned it, I'm like, okay, well, who else has? I mean, again, the Beast has, but she's injured, right? So you go to the next best one, which is the fighter that called for it. Which is crazy because, you know, Val said she was ready to fight in December and Tyler said she was ready to fight in December. I don't know why they didn't make that fight. You know, I don't know why they didn't make that fight. It's crazy because I know some of y'all been saying, oh, you know, Valentina don't want to risk it and this and that. I'm like, what risk, man? This is the flyweight division, man. Like, you know, these are the biggest fights you can get. Let's be real. Like, these are the biggest fights you can get. And Tyler Santos, even though she came up short, she's got the most stock right now in the division because she put on the most impressive performance against Val, right? And if you're looking for a money fight in the flyweight division, good luck. There really is none. I mean, Grasso is a step up maybe financially just a little, but whenever you're talking about, oh, she don't want to fight, you know, she don't want to take on a high risk. I thought y'all said she wasn't no risk. I thought y'all said she beat her convincingly. Y'all made it sound like she brutally beat Tyler Santos and this was so one-sided. So why not see it again and just shut everybody up and make it a clear-cut dominant win this time around, right? So that's where y'all fans that's looking at it that way. I'm like, you know, where are you going to get another big fight in the flyweight division? I mean, the biggest fight is the rubber match with Nunes, and that's in bantamweight. But right now, you know, if she wants to fight somebody in flyweight, any of these fights right now at the top are going to carry the same, I think, amount of money to me. But the Santos fight may carry a little bit more because it's a rematch that Tyler Santos has helped building up, right? So, yeah, just think about it that way, all right? But yeah, even the Lauren Murphy Andrade fight, I had to mention that because they're top 10 fighters. I don't think much is going to come of that fight as far as anybody getting the title shot. You know, I think Lauren Murphy is probably just staying busy, trying to get better as a fighter and just keep doing what she's doing, just being the fighter in the division. But as far as her getting the title shot again, I don't think so. Andrade as well. I think Andrade is just answering the call of the UFC. They said, hey, Lauren needs a fight. You want to fight? She said, yeah, I'm a tweener, right? She's ranked in both divisions. So, you know, Jessica Andrade is going to take the fight. But her mission is after this fight, like she said, to go back down to 115, right? That's her mission. She said, after I take on this fight, I want to get a rematch with Zhang Weili. And I think that's the direction she needs to go because we know a title shot with Valentina. A rematch, that ain't even in the cards, right? So both Lauren and Andrade being Valentina victims, you know, I think they have their path. I think they have their own path right now. But guys, let me know. Guys, let me know what y'all think in the comment section. Yeah, like I said, I just kind of wanted to fly through some of this stuff. Hold on now. Let me backtrack here a little bit. Now let's go further down the division here because, you know, there's another fighter here that seems to be making a big storm. Hadn't even won a fight at flyweight yet. Had only one fight against Caitlin Chikagian, and y'all know who I'm talking about, Amanda Ibas. Now, Amanda Ibas here, she has a fight lined up March 4th, UFC 285 against Viviana Arujo, right? She's got this fight lined up, all right? But before that fight was lined up, they were actually trying to throw Ibas in the mix against Chikagian or Tyler Santos. And when I heard that, man, I was like, for real? I was like, they really want to line her up with one of these two fighters? I was like, come on now. I was like, what do y'all see in her that I'm missing? You know, I was trying to figure that out because, I think Amanda Ibas is a good fighter. You know, I think she's tough. She has some good tools. But never have I seen anything in her to make her jump up like 12 or 13 spots to fight, you know, Chikagian again, for that matter. Well, you know, Tyler Santos and Chikagian again, for that matter. You know, I'm just not seeing that. I'm really not, you know. So I think the UFC is just like trying to tackle a new fighter like Ibas in this division to at some point get her in the mix, you know, to put some more fire in the division. But they rethought it and said, okay, those names are too high. Santos, Chikagian, again, those are too high. So we got to meet her in the middle and we got to fight Viviana Arujo instead. Even Viviana Arujo is a big risk, but I think with them trying to put her in the middle like that, they're trying to put some new blood in there. They're trying to put some new faces that could possibly fight Valentina and give her a good fight. Fighters that want to fight Valentina too, you know. So with Ibas, you got to get her sharp. And get her some wins, get her confidence going, make it look good. So whenever she does call out the champion, we can say, oh, she's on a 3-fight win streak. Oh, she won 2-fight win streak. She beat two, three top 10 fighters now. Now let's get her going, right? Let's go ahead and throw her in there since she's a little established at strawweight as well, right? Because the other fighters like Aaron Blanchfield and Casey O'Neill, they're not ready. We know they're not ready. They're still young, but we got this gutsy fighter in Amanda Ibas who could possibly throw a wrench in what's going on now and be in that mix, right? That's how they're thinking, I believe. Now, I still think Arujo has everything she needs to beat Ibas, but it's still questionable because of how Ibas is very tough and very doggish in there. And Araujo, though she has the tools to beat her, she's one of those fighters that doesn't pull the trigger sometimes. You know what I mean? She doesn't pull the trigger. Sometimes she'll shoot blindly until she's out, and then she doesn't have any weapons. You know, then she's kind of fending for herself with a dull blade in there. You know, she's in the alley with a dull blade now. You know, no more AK-47, no more clips, none of that, right? So sometimes she can be that type of fighter. So we'll see with this one. We'll see with this. But that's where I think this is going with the flyweight division right now. You know, we got kind of a mix up here. You know, we got some fighters like Santos who won it, but she's not getting it right now. So if I had my way right now, final thoughts on this topic, though, if I had my way right now, I would just say I want to make Santos and Grasso fight for a title eliminator. And, well, you know what? I would go ahead and let Valentina defend her belt against Alexa Grasso. I would go ahead and make that fight, I think, because that's the fight Valentina said she would want if Manon is not available, which she's not right now. All right. I'm going to go ahead and see that fight. Grasso, Valentina, and Tyler Santos wants the shot, but let's get her one more fight. Lauren's booked against Andrade. So let's make Tyler Santos Caitlin Chikagian. How about that? Tyler Santos versus Caitlin Chikagian, Valentina versus Grasso. Put them on the same card. Yeah, put them on the same card. That would be good, right? And maybe by the time Manon gets back, let Manon fight the winner of Lauren Murphy versus Andrade. Well, or the loser. Or just Lauren Murphy, period, because I'd want to see Andrade go back to 115 at this point, right? And like I said with Viviana Araujo, I think Viviana Araujo might get the W in this one. I do. I think she might get the W against Ibas. Ibas going to put up a good fight. If Ibas wins, I'll be like, wow. I'd be like, dang, Araujo, come on. You know? So, yeah. Let me know in the comment section what y'all thought. What y'all think of the flyweight fluster that's going on in both divisions, Bellator and UFC. All right? So, yeah, next week, guys. Next week is Christmas weekend. Not much going on for me. I'm gonna be putting in that work, you know, getting that work in, getting that triple, you know. But with Christmas being around the corner here for most people that like to really get into the celebration, I said, you know what? Let me put out my little Christmas list here. This is the only Christmas list I have, and it's not even a list for Christmas. It's what I want in 2023. So I guess it's more of a New Year's list, right? It's more of a New Year's list. So, yeah, what I did was come up with five fights here. I just got five fights here. You know, there's a lot of fights I want, but for this episode, I said, you know what, I'm going to just get y'all five fights that I really want to see. No order to it here. Well, I put some order to it. As far as the strawweight division, flyweight division, these are just some fights that I really think need to happen in 2023. Some fights, fighters might be doubled, but if they fight twice a year, they could happen, right? So, yeah, all right, let's start from the bottom here. Let's start with the unranked strawweight realm. Actually, all these fights are strawweights, I think. Let me see. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, so let's call it my strawweight Christmas list. These are the five fights I want in the strawweight division. I thought it was across the board, but I could give y'all some more, like flyweights, but I didn't even notice. I was just making the list, and I said, boom, they're all strawweights. How about that, all right? So, yeah. All right. The first fight I would like to see in the strawweight division 2023 is this fight. I'd like to see a rematch between Lupe Godinez and Vanessa Demopoulos. Why? Why? Go back 2 years to LFA and watch their first fight. Man, their first championship fight in LFA was a five-round war. These girls were going at it. If it wasn't for Whaley and Joanna in 2020, this fight could have easily been fight of the year for me. These two girls were throwing down. I mean, they were throwing bombs. Lupe started off boxing nicely, but eventually Vanessa Demopoulos started showing that heart, grit, turned it into a dog fight. These two girls were going at it, man. It was a crazy, crazy fight. I mean, this is how they looked in the beginning of the fight. But after, I mean, they looked like two pieces of meatloaf. You know what I mean? It was well worth it. You know, they put on a great show. Loopy had heart. Demopolis always has heart. These are two big-hearted fighters. Lack defense. Very strong, both of them. Both pack power. I want to see this fight now because, personally, I don't think these two fighters will ever get to, like, top five or top ten. So I think now would be the time to make a rematch between these two fighters. Again, I ain't, you know, disrespecting them. Not, I just don't think that I see them evolving enough to get to top five or top 10 right now because of their defense and, you know, the holes in their game. So I want to see this fight now before one of them goes on like a losing streak and they get cut, right? So if they were to have a rematch, it needs to happen now while they're still in the same realm, because you never know, Loopy could, you know, advance. She could get to the top 10 or something like that. Something crazy would happen. Top 15, leave Demopolis behind. So while they're here now, I think it'd be perfect timing to go ahead and make this rematch because, yeah, I know it would be another barn burner like their first fight. So, yeah, Loopy Godinez versus Vanessa Demopolis too. That's one fight I like to see. All right. And same fighter again. I would like to see Yasmin Hrigi versus Loopy Godinez. I think that, you know, Loopy, she's an active fighter, so it could happen again. You know, she could be in another good fight this year coming up. I think Yasmin Hrigi, you know, needs to fight somebody this strong with this type of wrestling in her own boxing, fight like a good combination fighter that has boxing and wrestling to be able to test her ability to, you know, make adjustments and use her IQ, Yasmin Hrigi, that is, and also use her takedown defense. So this is a good fight to test her IQ, jab, and takedown defense. Loopy, you know, she needs to go in there and showcase her skills against a very tough volume puncher like this. You know, see if she can step up her boxing and, you know, keep it sharp and get a dominant win over somebody that's on the come up, right? And again, this would just turn into, if anything, if Yasmin Hrigi doesn't make certain adjustments, it's still going to be an all-around good fight, like the previous fight, you know, another barn burner, right? All right. So moving up the strawweight ladder, third fight I would like to see is Rose Namajunas versus Marina Rodriguez. You know, Marina's trying to get back in the mix after her loss to Amanda Lemos. She's called out Carla Esparza. She's called out Rose. She's called out Joanna. Any name that can keep her active and fight. I love her energy. You know, after losing to Lamo, she's talking about coming right back. You know, a fight with Rose makes a lot of sense, you know, because a fight with Rose will test out her pressure, how she deals with pressure against a former champion. You know, she needs another former champion under her belt, a former well-rounded champion with that, you know, to see how far she's come and to see what she needs to work on in her camp coming up. You know, can she shut down the footwork of Rose? Can she use her takedown defense against Rose? You know, can she fight in the clinch against Rose and be strong? You know, can she go in there and hurt a fighter like Rose with her power? We don't know. You know, we have to see her slow it down, fight off a jab more, and close the distance on Rose, take away her footwork, a lot of different things. So if she wants to be champion, this is the type of fighter that she needs to fight. If she wants to be back in that mix to go for the winner of Weili Lemos, this is the name that she needs. And as for Rose, it's a good fight for her because it's a different look. You know, I'm tired of seeing her fight some of the same names over and over again. Sometimes now, don't hold me to that because we're looking at the next fight that's happening, right? So Rose is probably, you know, like, hey, I need a different look. Well, we're like, she needs a different look. You know, we've seen Wilwana and Wei Lee a couple times. I want to see her fight somebody else. So I want to see this fight go down. Also because excuse me, I want to see this fight go down also because, like Weili said, Rose needs one more fight. You know, she does need one more fight to kind of test herself and see where she's at mentally. So just makes sense all around, you know. It just makes sense all around. She's already fought Carla, she's already fought Weili. So why not a different look? Why not a different look at this point? So yeah, that's one I want to see there. That's another one I want to see there. And I didn't want to say I'm tired of seeing Rose fight running. Tired of seeing her fight the same fighters, period. I didn't want to say that because the next fight needs to happen in the summertime of 2023. This would make a good summer fight, y'all. So, yeah, this is a good one right here. Rose Namajunas versus Jessica Andrade 3. Need to make this thing happen. Need to make this thing happen before Rose retires, or Jessica Andrade moves up to 135, something like that. This is a fight that we need. You know, we've been waiting now for this one for what, almost 2 years? About 2 years now. Let me see. When did they fight? When was the second fight? 2020? Or was it 2021? I can't remember. But it'll be almost 3 years since their rematch, I believe. Or their since the rematch. So yeah, this is one fight needs to happen. This is one of the best strawweight fights that could happen right now at this point, I believe. Because these two type of styles, when you put them together, when you put Rose together, you put Andrade together, they just spell like fireworks. Andrade pushes Rose. Rose has the style that looks good when she's pushed. You know what I mean? When you have a fighter that comes forward like that, you really get to see how good her footwork and her striking is. And then when Andrade closes the distance, she just puts in that work against somebody that looks frail against her, right? And Rose just impresses you with how her striking looks against this type of fighter. You know, it's just fun to watch these two fight. And if they don't give us a third fight between these two, it's like they cheating the WMMA fans. It's got to happen. If any fight needs a rubber match, is this. Rose, Carla, no. Whaley versus Rose 3, yeah, it needs to happen because, you know, Whaley needs that get back. But it's not really like I need to see it to get a real, you know, a rush. You know what I mean? To get that rush. This fight gives me a rush. Every time these two fight, it's a rush. It's just that perfect style matchup where the fans get a win-win. And I believe the fighters get their step, you know, just bring their stock back up and get everybody back behind them. You know what I mean? So, yeah, this is the one that needs to happen here. I don't know how much we change in this one, but technically I think they're bringing the same. If they bring the same thing, fans will be happy. WMMA fans will be happy. All right. And last but not least, this fight needs to happen next year. I'm saying it again. Whaley versus Lemos for 2023. Make it happen. No other fight for Whaley right now. First title defense is Amanda Lemos. Amanda Lemos has earned it. No Rose rubber match. No Rose rubber match for Whaley. This one here is a different look. Also for like Rose and Marina, this is a different look for Whaley to test out her skills, to see if she's improved in her boxing. You know, she's working with Nonito Donair. You know, so we need to see if she's improved, because she's going to need that sharpness and she's going to need that type of boxer's defense against Lemos, right? We want to see how strong she is against Lemos. I want to see how strong Lemos is against Whaley. I want to see if her punching power has that impact on Whaley, right? So it's all around a good fight. It's all around a good fight. And I really want this fight too, because I told y'all Whaley was going to get to this point. Told y'all Whaley was going to get, no, I told y'all Lemos was going to get to this point. I told y'all eventually she would be fighting for the belt. And she possibly could beat somebody like Whaley. I told y'all about that, right? She had one little L along the way, but, you know, that's Andrade. So I want to go in, you know, 2023, seeing Whaley take on the best fighters. And this right here is one of the best. Whaley versus Lemos, make it happen, all right? So, yeah, those are the five fights I want to see, guys, for 2023. Let me know in the comment section what y'all want to see. Keep it strawweight, keep it flyweight, whatever. As for flyweight, some flyweight mentions I would love to see. Aaron Blanchfield versus Viviana Arrujo. Whether Arrujo loses the E-Boss, I would like to see Blanchfield and Arrujo fight. I want to see Casey O'Neill versus Jennifer Maya. I like to see Caitlin Chikagan versus Tyler Santos. I like to see Manon versus the champion, Valentina Shevchenko. I like to see Tyler Santos versus Alexa Grasso. A lot of good fights I want to see in the flyweight division. You know, I want to see Macy Barber versus Aaron Blanchfield at some point. Whether it be next year, I don't know. All right. But let me know what y'all want to see in the comment section. Like I said, those are the four, five fights off top for now. But yeah, guys, that's all I got for this episode. You know, felt like I got some things off my chest in this division for Bellator and UFC. And yeah, just another one of those things, man, where things just kind of have to run its course in the flyweight division. You know, that's just how it is sometimes. But yeah, final thoughts, guys. Like I said, enjoy doing this show and talking to y'all. You know, I just don't think that the women get a lot of promotion in WMMA, so I just like to get on here and talk about it. And, you know, even if it's not to fully promote them, it's something I just show interest in. You know what I mean? Just like movies or some horror movies. I love horror movies, you know, and this is just another thing that I love too. So if it helps them, if it helps promote them, hey, if you find out because of fighters, because of me, hey, thanks for listening, you know, and you're welcome for, you know, giving y'all some new fighters to watch. So, yeah, man, make sure y'all subscribe to the show. Like I said, all the platforms there, y'all know what it is. Everywhere you listen to your podcast, just type in hashtag CB99Talks. And as far as this fight weekend goes, Cheyenne Velasquez versus Corey McKenna, we'll talk more about it in a live stream down the week because I'm off this whole week. So, yeah, as an early pick, I mean, I'm looking at Velasquez early on. I like both, but I'm looking at Velasquez so as an early pick, guys. So, yeah, subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. You know, it's been growing. Let's get to 3,000 now. Got over 2,000 now. Let's get to 3,000. We keep it moving. Like always, guys, Combo Breaker 99. I'll catch you on this show next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Subscribe. Peace.